Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The excess and surplus line sector has had an amazing run these past few years, but what will the future hold? We've got a great panel here that will discuss all that. I'm John Weber for AM Best TV, and we're at the WSIA conference in San Diego. That panel today is David Blades, Associate Director, AM Best, Marcia Blanco, Head of Financial Lines Munich Re Specialty, Jessica Buss, CEO for Argo, Sarah Gunderson, EVP, Head of Casualty, North America Sompo, and Kyle Burnett, Head of E&S Property, North America, Swiss Re Corporate Solutions. And Kyle, let's start with you today. What direction do you see the E&S sector taking?
So for me, I'd say it's going to be growth. And so for the E&S market, if you look, the report just came out. We finished last year at $115 billion, first time we've ever crossed $100 billion in the E&S space. So incredibly important, incredibly valued to really plant ourselves and plant that flag. But we now take up 30% of all of the market share for commercial insurance, which is just incredible. So when people used to think of E&S, they used to think of it as hard to place, distressed risks. And I really don't think that's the case anymore. I think what really is important is we've become a staple of the insurance community, providing tough solutions and really help stabilize through the really difficult years.
Yeah, I would add to that, and maybe on that same theme, you know, we used to be referred to as a safety valve, right? And business would flow from the admitted markets to the E&S. So we certainly concur that that business is more likely to stay in the E&S market. And we've even seen a more complex part of that where we've seen the distribution of the E&S business change. So that growth has stayed and now it's being distributed through brokers and through MGUs. And it's taken up, as Kyle said, a great part of our market. But I think the other thing in the emerging space is as risks continue to get more complex, they're going to start in the E&S market. So there's just going to be more and more opportunities for E&S companies to grow over the upcoming years.
Sarah, what are the challenges and opportunities that you see in E&S down the road?
That's a great question, John. And actually, you know, tying in with what Kyle said, my response would be the growth, right? It is a challenge, right? We've been seeing it the past few years, and we're going to continue to see that moving forward, right? And that does create tremendous opportunities. But along with that growth, right, companies really need to focus on talent retention, right, and staffing models, and also creating efficiencies, right? And that speed to market is so important in the E&S space, right, that that's what we need to focus on. And it is an exciting time that growth potential and opportunity is there, but there come with that a lot of challenges as well.
And I just think to Sarah's point, growth is, you know, so important. That's obviously a big part of the story that we've been looking at the surplus lines market in most recent years. But the success of underwriting that business as, you know, all these new challenges come to the forefront, the ability of the surplus lines market to continue to be, successful from an underwriting perspective, to continue to be profitable, I think that's as big a story as the growth, to be honest with you. And I think that's going to be the challenge going forward, to continue staying on top of the P's and Q's and, you know, the basic blocking and tackling in order to, as you're looking at these new and evolving technologies and new risks, to make sure that the underwriting stays at the level to continue that the success that we've seen in recent years. And those are challenges that'll continue to be at the highest level, because again, surplus lines market is facing some of the toughest risks in the insurance market. But again, sticking to the core principles, I think the chance for success is excellent.
I think it's this balance of becoming future-proof so that we're on top of the emerging risks, but not losing sight of the underwriting fundamentals that made the E&S industry as profitable as it is, and the best-in-class underwriting and just the fundamentals. It's so important, and we just really have to weigh those two things and make sure that we don't lose sight of those fundamentals, because they are so important to what we do, but that we are forward-looking so that we don't, you know, miss out on opportunities and AI and other things that are coming and we know are coming our way.
I'm going to add one last thing. So I agree with everything here, especially the underwriting talent part of it. You know, traditionally we hired because you wanted to be in the insurance industry. Now we are actually going to look for professionals who want to make it a career. And you have to have that diverse background to understand the emerging risks. So where you would maybe not hire a doctor to be an underwriter, these days you probably would, right? So that's the difference too. So your talent has got to change as well for us to continue to be an E&S market.
David, Jessica mentioned future proof and being on top of the evolving risk. What do you see as those evolving risks?
Well, John, as we talk to our rated insurers at AM Best and, you know, ask them what they see as, you know, the most prominent emerging risks, some of the things that they talk about, obviously, especially in these last few years, the volatility from weather standpoint, just climate related risks and what that means from a property standpoint. We're seeing surplus lines companies addressing more and more of the risks around that. So I think trying to stay in, you know, on top of changing climate related risks, I think that's going to be very important. We'll continue to see that fall into the lap of the surplus lines market on a going forward basis. I think just a lot of the emerging technologies that we're looking at, whether it's affecting manufacturing risks and from a liability standpoint, we're looking at the risks that are involved in some of those emerging technologies, whether it's products related, you know, those are things, or whether we're talking about things, you know, Jessica mentioned AI earlier, just those types of technologies, staying on top of them from a data security standpoint and just from an overall general liability risk perspective. I think, you know, looking at things from that perspective, I think, you know, also, you know, think about robotics, even something like aerial robotics, companies that are using drones, you know, on all different aspects of whether it be underwriting or claims related. So I think there are a number of different technologies that, you know, are continue to emerge, continue to evolve, that I think, as we stated, the surplus lines market is probably going to be the first one that's going to have to come up with, you know, the inventive and creative tailored solutions in order to address the risks associated with those types of industries.
Yeah, and I would absolutely agree with that. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head right at the end, being creative, and that's what we do in E&S. You know, I think I've spent my entire career, and most of us up here, being that tailored creative solution to a difficult problem, and that's why it ends up in our space. And I think we've done that so well, not just for over the past few years historically, but we'll continue to take that into the future.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Marcia, do you think an election year could have an impact on E&S or the broader economy for that matter?
I do, John. Thanks for the question. I think this is going to be a very interesting election, depending on who wins, right? If the Republicans win, I do believe that they're going to try and soften regulatory action. If the Democrats win, they're going to try and tighten them. Now, we all know, for those who have been around, like myself, if we soften the regulatory actions, it is going to give a boost to the economy right away in the short term. In the long term, we could suffer the same as we did with the real estate crash, 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 we did with the real estate crash, as 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 we did with the real estate crash, we did with the real estate crash.
And the types of risk we write, you know, we spent a lot of time talking today how complex they are. So the talents of the underwriters that we have is so important. And, you know, we have an aging industry, right? We have a lot of people coming up with retirement. And we used to spend a lot of time training. You know, that used to be a big part of the E&S business that we stopped doing. So we've kind of created this gap. So attracting talent has become something that's really, really important. And also the relationships. I mean, we talk a lot about underwriting talent, but let's be honest, a lot of the success of our business is based on, this is a relationship business. And those you can't just hire out of college. Those take time. So I think, you know, that's going to be one of our greatest challenges. Also, post-pandemic, the way people want to work, not just at Argo, at the industry, has been a challenge. Return to office, work-life balance. These are real issues that we're going to have to learn to modernize if we want to retain, you know, the new up-and-coming talent in our industry. So we have to start to think about things differently. How do we reward people? How do we engage them? But we do also think it's important that people are in the office. Collaboration. How do we mentor? What's the true outcome of the pandemic? You know, people are productive at home, but are we losing our pipelines? Are we losing relationships? And so those are things that we're starting to see now, but I think we'll see more and more of the impacts of that as we move forward. So I think the last thing I would say is we're starting to see competition for our talent in other areas. As we've talked about emerging risks, AI, the types of people we hire, well, we have that sort of reverse impact on us. We see talented underwriting teams going to the MGU space. That's something new. You know, the insurance companies have to start to think about how we reward people for creating value differently. They have entrepreneurial spirit, you know, part of creating something, building something. And I think that's why, you know, the MGU has been an attractive place for underwriters to go to. In terms of retaining talent, again, we just need to be more creative in the way that we engage. Some of the things that we do at Argo that have been really successful, you know, I go out and do a lot of town halls, you know, managed by Mosey. I think people like to feel like they're part of building something. So lots of communication has been really important. And just leading with authenticity. I mean, people want to believe that the person, their manager, their CEO, you know, we're real people. We experience the same challenges they do. They like to talk about their personal life. And I think, you know, being part of building something, being part of creating and truly rewarding, you know, and valuing our employees has been a really important thing for not just our young people, but for the people that have been in the industry for a long time.
So being open to different backgrounds, right, and diversity of candidates, I think all of us would agree that we love to see a candidate who majored in insurance or risk management. But looking at myself, I was a psychology major. And from time to time, people will say to me, oh, it's a shame you don't use your psychology degree. And I say, I use it every day. And not just at home with my children, right, at work and in the business world, right? But I was lucky enough that when I started underwriting, I worked for a company that had a very robust trainee program. Right? And really building and bringing up that homegrown talent. And that's the model at Sampo, I'm very happy to say, right? We had in July 55 trainees start for North America, right? So building that talent and internally, right? And retaining them and so many of the things that Jessica shared as well.
Yeah, I'd like to add just a couple of things. One of the things we do really well at Munich Re and the E&S space is that when we hire from within quite a bit, so we give the opportunity to those that are in the UA side to actually shadow an underwriter and be able to see if they really like it. So that's worked out really well for us. The other thing we really do well is that we believe in education. So our underwriters, like this coming October, we're going to get together. We can learn something from that. So it's little things like that, that not only, it's not always about salary, it's showing them that we want to invest in you because we believe in what you bring to the table for the company. And I do believe Munich does a really nice job with that.
No, and I couldn't agree more with what everybody said, but I think more importantly, you talk about post-pandemic people and returning to the office. And that was such an important part of my career and everybody else's, is having that ability to reach over, ask a question to somebody, hear that collaboration. And as you talk about people aging out of the industry and we bring new people in, well, they need that too. So it's incredibly important for our future to be able to mentor, coach, and educate the future of our generation and the future of insurance so that we can have a productive career for the rest of us.
Well, what a great discussion. Kyle, Sarah, Jessica, Marcia, David, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, John.
And from the WSIA conference in San Diego, I'm John Weber for AM Best TV.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.